Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Fine Food Friday, November 18th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, you know, it's always great fun when we get to welcome back Deanna Fox to the Food Friday show. Deanna is a food and agriculture writer and cooking instructor. Now, you've seen her work in the Times Union and all over Albany. Thanksgiving, less than a week away. I'm always looking for an excuse to do a show about pies. So today, we'll do a show about the best part of your holiday meal, the pie. Deanna has conjured up some real treats this time around. Once you hear about them, you want to make them yourself. And you won't be able to because you're not Deanna. But still call us anyway. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Share your favorite pie recipe. You can enjoy along with us as we eat pie. It's not as much fun when you're not actually eating pie, but the show will begin after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday. Don't adjust your microphone. I'm doing the introduction. It's a Food Friday. Today we welcome back Deanna Fox to the program. Deanna is a food and agriculture writer and cooking instructor. Her work best known locally in the Times Union, all over Albany, and Vox Media. You can find her on Facebook as Fox on Food or on Twitter and Instagram at Deanna, that's with two N's, Deanna N. Fox. With Thanksgiving coming around, it's coming around the corner. But today, we're going to talk about pies. Pre-read the script, Ray. Pumpkin, apple, chocolate, maybe even on with some bacon. Deanna's whipped these up, and hearing about them, you'll want to know about them as well. Give us a call. We talk pies today on the show. I try to have her on every couple of weeks to talk pies, but really, it only works out every 6 to 8 months. The number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. Deanna Fox, this must be your 40th appearance on this program.
At least, and probably my fourth or fifth talking about pie.
It's great.
Yeah.
This is a Thanksgiving tradition here on this program.
It is, yeah.
It's nice to have you back on the show, and you've done it again. You made an apple crumb pie.
I did. Well, technically, it's called a Dutch apple pie.
But it's got crumbs.
It does.
So I'm not wrong.
No.
But I'm not right. It's delicious, though. It's not. I had a bite before the show started. Not too sweet.
Yeah.
Plenty of. What kind of apples are we using? Just a mix?
I use the Golden Delicious, which I think are like the ultimate for
Why
baking.
Why is that?
They're not too tart. They're not too sweet, and they have like the perfect amount of pectin. So all the fruit filling in the middle salt sets up really, really nicely. You know, and it's not too sweet. Like, you can't use something that's like a Gala or a Honeycrisp or something like that because that's way too sweet. And they fall apart. They have no pectin. So when you bake them, they don't really hold their shape.
So pectin is the glue to some extent?
Yeah. So when you make jams and jellies, you add pectin, and that's what makes it kind of jiggly. But if you go too tart, if you go like straight Granny Smith, then it's really, really tart. It's got a lot of pectin. It'll set up really nicely, but it's just way too tart.
But you can add sugar. More
yeah,
sugar.
But do you really want to add a ton of sugar to stuff? I mean, you're...
In general, yes. That's
okay.
My answer. But,
for
but,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like if you can rely on Mother Nature to provide sweetness.
And that's the beautiful thing about this pie is you taste the apples. They're right out front, not too sweet. And you put cheese there, which some people don't like that. But in my family, cheese on pie...
Cheddar cheese. I have a great recipe where you can actually incorporate cheddar cheese into the crust, which is, you know, cuts out the middleman. But, you have to, you know, pie without cheese is like a kiss without a squeeze. You got to have the cheese.
I like that phrase. Yeah. So how would you put cheese in the crust and not have the crust fall apart?
Yeah, you grate the cheese and you grate about a cup of cheese, a cup of grated cheese, cheddar cheese, right in when you're incorporating the butter or whatever fat you're using in your pie crust. And then you just make it just like that. And it gets really flaky. It gets really crispy.
Can you taste the cheese, though?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's great.
It sort of reminds me of the cheese in the middle of the pizza crust, which is so repellent to look at on the commercials. But that sounds better. Our number here is 800-348-2551. You want to talk pie with Deanna Fox? Now's the time to do it. And, of course, the other one you brought is my favorite pie in the world. And this is the, what do you call it?
Ray Graff pie.
Ray Graff pie. It's chocolate and peanut butter and some various other sneaky things.
Yeah. Well, it's a graham cracker crust, but instead of using butter in the crust to hold everything together, I cook bacon and I take the fat from the bacon and I use that for the fat.
My aorta thanks you.
Yes. And we crumble up when we're grinding up the graham crackers. We grind up some of the bacon. And then it's a layer of chocolate ganache and then peanut butter mousse. And then on top is candied bacon.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. It's been about a year since I've had this.
Yeah, I only make it once a year.
I hope those podcast people don't steal it because...
you're going to take it home.
Maybe, hopefully. 800-348-2551 if you want to talk about pie. And who doesn't? Let's go to Jill in Waterford. Jill, you're on.
Hi.
Hello.
This is so timely because I have been grappling with a pie issue for the last couple of days.
You see?
It's great. I'm so glad you did this, Ray. Thank you.
Well, I thought about this. I thought Jill would be in trouble, and, you know, we need to help her. So go ahead. You're on with the Anna Fox.
Okay. I have to bake 3 sweet potato pies.
Mm-hmm.
But because of time constraints, I can't do it all at once like I normally do it. It will have to be done over several days. So my plan was to peel, cut, and boil the potatoes one day, make the batter the next day, and in another day or two, pour the batter in the shells and then bake it. My unknown is making the batter and then having it survive over a day or two.
Okay, so
question is, will it hold up or will it get real stiff?
No. What kind Jill, what kind of crust are you using? Are you using a graham cracker crust or are you blind baking your crust?
No, just a regular crust. And no, I cannot bake a crust, so it's going to have to be Pillsbury.
Okay,
that's
but
okay.
Do you... do you pre-bake your pie shell before you put your filling in? And then
no.
You continue to bake it? Okay, so the crust goes in raw.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, you can make your filling, but you can boil your sweet potatoes a couple of days ahead of time. Are you using a lot of cream in your filling?
It's condensed milk.
Okay. Condensed milk should freeze okay. So you could even, if you have a freezer that's big enough, you could assemble your pies. So, you know, as
no,
far as...
No, I don't.
Okay, so...
No, I don't. That's why I don't want to bake it until Wednesday to be eaten on Thursday.
Okay, you could even
otherwise,
bake it... You could bake it on Tuesday. Pies hold really well. You can bake pies 2, sometimes even 3 days ahead of time, depending on the kind of pie. But if you make your filling, like Sunday night even, it should sit fine for you in the fridge. Make sure it's airtight, and whisk it back together if you need to. If the cream starts to separate a little bit, starts to float to the top,
it's got to go in the freezer. It can't go in the refrigerator.
No, it can go in the fridge. But I was suggesting if you had room in your freezer, you could assemble your pies.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
And freeze them. But yeah,
that's
so make your filling.
It in stages.
Yeah, make your filling even Sunday night would be fine, and then bake them Tuesday or.
And then I can just hold it. I can hold it until Wednesday. It'll hold up.
Yeah, it should hold up. Just, you know, give it a good whisk to whisk it back together, and it should be fine.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
thank
good
you
luck.
So much. I really appreciate it. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Jill, thanks a lot, and have a great Thanksgiving. You see, you didn't bring the sweet potato pie.
I know. You thought
about it, and the first question is about sweet potato pie.
I know. Well, last time, remember what happened? The one pie didn't make the mincemeat. And
now you brought it up. Now everyone's going to talk about you. It's your fault, not mine. Everyone's going to have a question about mincemeat pie now. Marianne in Rotterdam. Marianne, you're on with Deanna Fox.
Hello there. Deanna, I love your column. Ray, I just love you.
Well, I love you.
You're the funniest man on earth.
Thank you.
Gosh. Now, 2 things. My husband is English. When I first started making pies using your standard American apple pie recipe, too spicy, too spicy. Then I went to England, and there's no spice.
Mm-hmm.
It's apple, sugar, and lemon.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I make my pies. And some people love them, and some people hate them. But my kids hate spice and apple pie.
Okay.
They learned early on. I just thought that was interesting.
What
the
kind
other
of spice,
thing,
Marianne?
Any.
Chipotle
I put
or...
a little bit of... Now I put no spice in the apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
It's the tart apples and some lemon juice and sugar, and that's it.
Hmm.
Sometime, Ray, come over to my house. I'll make you pie.
You know what? That is the best offer I've had in like 3 weeks, Marianne. Perfect. Thank you very much. Did you have another question for Deanna?
Yes, Deanna, when you put the cheese in the pie crust, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
Now, I use Crisco, and I put in 2/3 cup plus 2 tablespoons of Crisco for a 2-crust pie.
Mm-hmm.
How do I, do you add the extra cheese in?
Excuse me.
Or do you substitute it?
No, you just add it right in. So it's a cup of shredded cheese.
You know, you got
a cough
button now, our new studio.
Yes.
You just hold that mute button
the
down,
mute
and
button.
No one will know that you have Great Expectations.
You can buy just a brick of cheese and grate it in, or you could buy pre-grated cheese, but it's just a cup, and you just throw it in, and it's fine. Don't adjust your fat that you're using. The Crisco is the perfect amount. That's what mine works out to be. And just add in the cheddar cheese right in. When you're putting in the Crisco, and then add in your water, and that's it.
And it rolls out and everything.
Yeah.
That's a challenge. If I hadn't made a pie yesterday, I'd try one today.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, when I come over, I'll expect the cheese and the crust, Marianne.
Okay, and you can tell me which one you want, because I make a good cherry pie and apple pie and lemon meringue pie and any kind of pie you like.
I don't know if that would go with lemon meringue pie.
Ray, I'm out of a job.
Well,
Marianne's got you covered.
Well, you know, we'll have Marianne on as well. We'll have 12 pies here. It'll be great. Hey, thanks a lot for the call.
I enjoy your show.
Thank you. Have a great Thanksgiving. We appreciate it. I don't know about cheese and crust for a lemon meringue pie. That might be a little much.
That might be too much.
What about cherry pie? Would that go? I've never heard of cheese with cherry pie.
No, I think it's just an apple pie kind of thing. I think it's like a Pennsylvania Dutch kind of thing. Yeah.
It's funny, you know, I just had some more of that apple pie. That is a spectacular work.
Thank you, sir.
Well done. All right, let's take a break, Zach. It's time for some more pie, and it's easier to chew when I'm not speaking, although it's not really a hindrance most of the time. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Comes from Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grant Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly, passive, and solar design elements, noble-home.net. Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory, offering over 100 chocolates, including truffles, buttercrunch, and sea-salted caramels, located on Albany Street, Schenectady, and Newton Plaza, Loudonville, unclesamscandy.com. And Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, preparing weddings, showers, reunions, and more at the Curtis House with 3 B&B rooms available or at the recently renovated barn, Farm to Vase Florals. Information at gloriosaco.com.
Oh, the things you learn here on Fox Pop Food Friday with Deanna Fox. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You know, it's a pie show. And then in passing, right before the mic opens, she says, I've got a new fat in my fridge.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, so I keep all my fats. We've talked about this. I keep my bacon fat. I keep my schmaltz from my chicken.
Yeah.
And now I've been saving the oil in my oil-packed tuna. It's perfect.
What do you use it for? Not in a cake, certainly.
No, unless you're making, like, fish cakes.
For cats.
Yum.
Thanksgiving for pets.
But anytime you need to make a salad dressing, it's really good. It's not too fishy, but it's got a really great salt.
So you get your tuna in oil, then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
I think it's just, I just like it better.
That's
funny.
I like it better in water.
Yeah, I like it better in oil.
All right, fine. That'll be another show. We'll argue this out on another program. Deanna Fox is our guest, 800-348-2551. To be clear, it's not about tuna fish oil. It's about pies today on the program. And let's go to Steve in Highland. Steve, you're on.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi.
Every year, one of the things I'm really proud to make is a pecan pie.
Oh, yeah.
And it tastes... Yeah, it tastes absolutely delicious, but consistently one little problem I seem to have is the center of the pie being just a little more runny than I would like, and I give it as much extra cooking time as I possibly can before the top gets, you know, just too burnt looking, And I've tried two different recipes where they tweak the ratio of like sugar to egg and all that stuff. Do you have any tips for me?
So the middle is a bit gooey.
Yeah, a little too runny.
Yeah, a few things. You can either keep your temperature at what it's at and put foil over the top of your pie and then take it off like halfway through. Or you can reduce your temperature. Do you have a convection oven by chance? Or is it
regular.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
You can reduce maybe by like 25 degrees. So I bake mine at 375. And I bake it for...
Your pecan pie?
Yeah. I bake it for about 55 minutes.
That sounds about the same as what I do. But are you saying that if I lower the temperature, I could, it could be in there longer without burning and therefore solve the gooey problem?
Right, right. Or if you want to keep it higher and you're worried about it burning, just put foil. Just, lightly place foil around the top of your pie.
Over the entire pie or just around the crust? I've seen it around the edges.
Yeah, you can do it around the crust, but... And that's something. They actually sell a thing called a pie shield. You can buy it as metal or silicone, and that just kind of goes around. It almost looks like a big donut. It goes around the outside of your pie, and that allows the center to get browned or get cooked without burning the crust. But how many eggs are you using in your pie?
I think that I'd have to check the recipe. I think it's usually two, but one that I tried may have called for three.
Yeah, my recipe has three eggs in it, and then it's 3/4 cup of dark brown sugar and 2/3 cup of maple syrup. So you can also try adding another egg.
Yeah, for the extra binder or whatever.
Right.
And that wouldn't affect the flavor or the other like makeup of the ingredients. Yes. I mean, I guess not if you put three in yours.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks very much that you gave me some good ideas to try.
Good luck.
Steve. We appreciate it. This one came in via email from Melissa in White Lake, New York, wondering if Deanna is a shortening or buttercrust person.
I use both, and the reason is this. It's the way the water evaporates when they're in the oven. And when the butter is cold, it kind of releases its moisture in like a big pop, like a burst. It was like vertically.
Yeah.
So that's how you get, provided that your butter is cold, that's how you get really flaky crust, because it creates these pockets of air where the steam is exploding, essentially. And that's how you get a flaky crust.
So never room temperature butter.
No.
Always cold.
Cold.
Okay.
As cold as possible. I'll actually put my pie in the fridge for 15 minutes and then put it in, if I have time and if I have room in my fridge, and that gets a really flaky crust. But I also use shortening as well, and it's pretty much equal parts. And so shortening provides a real like tenderness to the crust. So you get the flakiness and the flavor of butter, but then you get that tenderness. So sometimes with all butter crust, you get it like stuck in your teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really tough. It's brittle. And so I feel like half shortening, half butter.
Well, there you go.
The best of both worlds.
All right. And this one came in via email, and then back to the phones we shall go. This one is from Elizabeth. Can you talk about pie crusts? Well, yes, let's do that. Mine never turn out great. They're either too flaky or too gooey. Why, oh, why? I've tried different recipes. None turn out right. Also, can you use a KitchenAid mixer to mix the crust dough?
As to the mixer, you can. You could use a food processor. The thing you want to be careful of is not to overmix because, two things will happen. Flour is made of two gluten proteins. And the more that you mix it, the more that those proteins start to come together. And they almost form like the weft and a weave in a piece of fabric.
Yeah.
So the more that they mix them, the tighter they get. So you get a really tough crust. So that's one thing. The other thing is the way that the paddle is hitting the bowl or the way that the blade is spinning around in the food processor creates friction, and that friction creates heat, and that heat will melt your butter or soften your butter. So you have to be careful of that. But, by hand is great. You don't need anything fancy by hand. You can even get in there with your fingertips if you want to work in your butter or your shortening or lard or whatever you're using. Two forks, two knives, something to cut it up. You could buy a pastry blender. That's what I use. But yeah, as far as not having a good crust recipe, if you go online, if you go onto the WAMC website and look for pie, my pie dough recipe will come up.
Boy, I hope it does. I don't think I put it on today's page.
Yeah, it'll come up.
I kind of forgot to do the page until very late.
But about a month ago, I had a piece run on, in the Times Union, you go into the Times Union website or the All Over Albany website and just search my name and pie, and it'll come up.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's I have gone through that so many times. I've taught hundreds of people how to make pie, and they all use this pie dough recipe, and it's no fail.
Okay.
You can't mess it up.
Thank you for that email. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Our guest, Deanna Fox. And let's go to line number three, and Tom in Albany. Tom.
Hi, Ray. Deanna, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi. I'm actually making pumpkin pie from scratch for the first time, and I wanted to know if you had any sort of tips or things that I should look out for.
Yeah. Well, if you're making one from scratch from the first time, don't worry about cooking your own pumpkin. Don't do that. Buy pumpkin from a can. Mm-hmm. Make sure it's actual raw pumpkin and not pumpkin pie filling. So just make sure, you know, they kind of put them next to each other.
What's
on the
grocery
store.
The pumpkin pie filling.
Well, it's not just plain pumpkin. It's going to kind of screw up your, pumpkin pie filling has got everything in it.
He wants to go from scratch.
Yeah.
Okay.
So buy the can. Don't worry about going through the process of doing it yourself. And then make sure it's really well spiced. Part of what makes pumpkin pie great is all the flavoring that you add to it. So in my pumpkin pie, I use half white sugar and half brown sugar, and that creates like a depth of flavor. So it's not just really saccharine and kind of like a flat sugar taste. It's got a lot of depth and a lot of body. And then I use salt, ground ginger, ground cinnamon, ground nutmeg, ground cloves, and I use a little bit of fresh cracked black pepper.
Huh.
And it is really good. It just has like a little something.
Is that common?
I don't think so. Not the black pepper.
No, interesting.
But, you know, then you incorporate your eggs and your evaporated milk, and that's pretty much it.
Any tips temperature-wise or cooking-wise? Any time that you have failed early in your pumpkin pie-making career?
Have I failed? Sometimes if you're not careful. Yeah, I did have one separate a little bit. And I think that my ratio was off, like my eggs to my cream to my pumpkin. So when it actually baked, it almost like curdled.
Okay.
But as long, you know, and the other thing is if you're looking for a recipe, go to a cookbook or go to a website that you know you can trust. Don't just, you know, go onto some crowdsourced or some random blogger because those recipes are very rarely tested. So go on to, you know, Cooks Illustrated or Bon Appetit or something that you know that you can trust that have been really thoroughly
vetted. Or like a test kitchen website, you know, something that, okay, we've done this 100 times, we know it works well.
Right, right. And then just add black pepper and you can totally steal it. I won't tell anybody.
All right, fair enough. That's a great tip. Hey, Tom, good luck.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. What's your favorite cookbook?
Baking with Julia.
Is it?
That one, or I love the Better Homes and Gardens, like, general cookbook. And William Sonoma, like, their big, fat cookbook is really great.
Byron Nielsen was in here last week, and he brought this book that he had just received in the mail, this old Vincent Price cookbook. So we had the idea that maybe we'll get a round table of some of the guests here, and they'll bring in their favorite cookbook.
Yeah.
Maybe next time?
Let's do it.
Well, you're already booked for next time.
Let's do it.
Pre-Super Bowl party, but that's in February. All right, let's go back to the phones. And Diane in Saugerties. Diane, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
This is my first Thanksgiving as diagnosed with diabetes, and I have a pumpkin pie recipe I've made for years that I like very much. Now I'm not supposed to have sugar. And so I did a little experiment with stevia. I wasn't that crazy about the taste.
Okay. Did it have like that bitter aftertaste?
It was just like a... I know it's supposed to not be a chemical, but it was a chemical kind of aftertaste.
Yeah. So are you looking for sugar alternatives that you could use?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, honey would... Not honey.
Right, right. You probably can't use any... You'd have to use some sort of sugar replacer. I would say...
And are there different kinds of stevia? Do you know anything about it?
Yeah, there might be different brands. You know, stevia is a plant. It's not necessarily a brand. So there are different brands that you could try. So I would try maybe a
different brand.
Yeah, try a different brand.
Maybe you use too much, Diane.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Do you have any other suggestions?
So off the top of my head, I can't think of any other sugar substitute that you would use if you were substituting out that.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. You know, when we were up in Maine, you get this Coke, and it's not available here all the time. Sometimes it is. It's Coke Life, and it's Coke with a little cane sugar and stevia, mm-hmm. and you can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
I've never really had stevia other than that.
Yeah.
So it's a plant-based, but it's not
right.
sugar.
It kind of looks like mint.
Really?
Yep. And essentially they extract the juice essentially from the leaf like you would sugar cane, and they evaporate it, and that becomes stevia. But, you know, there's different brands, like Domino probably has their own brand of stevia. And
have you tried cooking with it?
Yeah, I've cooked with it before.
What do you think?
It's fine. It's gotten better. I feel like it's, when it first came out, there was that really chemical, almost like, you know, a lot of artificial sweetener kind of thing.
Yeah.
My grandmother was diabetic, and so I'd have to be really careful when I baked for her. But now, I mean, some of them, it's really hard. Some of the stevia, it's really hard to tell.
Is it the same ratio as when you use sugar, or are you using a lot less?
Yeah, from my recollection, it's the same ratio, but you should always check the back of the package because it'll tell you very explicitly.
Deanna Fox is our guest. It's a Food Friday. We talk pies today, and why not? The number is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Matt in Monroe. Matt, you're on.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hello.
I would like to talk about chocolate pie. My Aunt Linda makes a chocolate pie with a homemade crust and mighty fine slow-cook pudding covered with a fresh homemade whipped cream.
Okay.
And I don't think there's anything we could do to possibly improve on that, but I was wondering if you had any thoughts.
Well, you could always make it from scratch. And my chocolate pie is just my chocolate pudding recipe. So it's just a pie shell with chocolate pudding placed in it. I use cornstarch for a thickener in my chocolate pudding. And I make sure to use, like, bittersweet chocolate. I don't use semi-sweet. And try to get like a brick of chocolate, like baking chocolate. Try not to use chocolate chips because they have a lot of vegetable wax in them. And it can create, like, a really funny texture. It can almost seize together. So try to use actual baking chocolate. And then if you want to try something really cool, you can bake your pie, you bake your crust, and then add in your filling. And then you can make a meringue topping like you would with a lemon meringue.
Oh.
And on chocolate pie, that's really tasty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's really tasty.
And then you could put some candied bacon on the top, and then you really win prizes.
And jelly beans.
Perfect. Yeah.
Bingo. Hey,
yeah.
Good luck.
Do you have your pudding recipe online anywhere?
I don't, but my Facebook page is just facebook.com/foxonfood, and I'll definitely put it up later today.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
And so it's on Facebook. It is Fox on Food.
Yes.
Gotcha. I usually get that backwards.
You do.
Food on Fox, yeah. Which is after the show, before you have a napkin. Let's go to John in Western Mass. John, you're on.
Hi. Yeah, I'm afraid my question might seem redundant after the previous caller, because I was wanted to ask about a French silk pie, and which I've made before, and it also seems to relate to the comment you made about the Better Homes and Garden cookbook, because I think my first recipe for that I got out of a Better Homes and Garden cookbook.
Okay.
And I was curious about, I've lost the recipe over the years, and I'm curious about the best way to get that to get the loft, the air in it that I got out of using beaten eggs that I had before, because I know you're not supposed to use raw eggs and everything nowadays, but I still do anyway. And I was just wondering if you had any insights as far as getting the best lift in a French silk pie for that.
Well, you could kind of not take a traditional approach. So my chocolate pie, I use egg yolk, and it is a dense pie. But if you wanted to, you could make like a chocolate mousse into your pie. And that would rely more. You could buy pasteurized egg whites in the grocery store, and you could beat those together to get that nice, light, fluffy thing. And that you don't have to worry about cooking. You can just incorporate those in. But you could also just make a mousse recipe where you would do you would boil down some sugar, probably a little sugar and water, to about 230 degrees on a candy thermometer, and then you would slowly beat it into regular egg whites, and that would cook the egg whites, and then you would fold in your chocolate or your cocoa and some whipped cream, and you would pre-bake your pie crust and then put that in, and that's probably going to give you the closest thing to a French silk. So
because I tried it a few times and I just couldn't get the loft out of it that I thought I had the first time or years ago.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, thanks, John. We appreciate the call. Deanna Fox is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. over to line four and Ashley in the Berkshires. Ashley, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to speak to a woman who called a few minutes ago about sugar replacement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And instead of stevia, I think she should try using Splenda.
Okay.
She's not going to want to use what's in the packet, but if she uses baking Splenda, it's not as fine of a brand. They don't mill it quite so far. And Splenda is made from isomalt instead of, which is a sugar drink, it's a derivative, but it won't affect her blood levels, and it won't make her glucose increase. So it's great for people with diabetes.
Okay, fair
awesome.
Enough.
So Splenda instead of stevia.
All right, there you go. Ashley, thanks a lot. Splenda. Doesn't that offer, I'm not sure, and I don't want to get in trouble with our legal department, but doesn't that sometimes create some digestive issues if you have too much of that in baked goods, or is that a different sweetener?
I don't know. I couldn't answer that.
You're just sugar and fat and all the good stuff. I know. Why even ask? Let's go over to line three very quickly here, and Tom, who's on the thruway. Tom. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Starla in Cahoes. Starla, you're on.
Hi there.
Hey,
good afternoon.
How's it going?
Good, good. It's nice to talk to you.
Yes, good to hear you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I am also calling actually about sugar substitutes, and I have a couple really good ideas. I'm not a fan of stevia because it leaves that icky aftertaste in your throat, kind of like sucralose, that yucky, you know?
Okay.
Stevia does that. Splenda kind of does that. But there's a particular sweetener that I wanted to talk about, and it's called xylitol. And that's spelled with an X. And it's actually derived from hardwood trees.
Hmm.
And it's you can buy it in granulated form. It's called Xyla, just X-Y-L-A. And it's cup for cup the same as sugar. But it doesn't raise your blood sugar levels. It doesn't promote cavities. It's very nice. It's sweet. And it doesn't leave, it's very clean. So it doesn't leave that kind of, you know, icky aftertaste.
It's not good for pets, though, right? Isn't that the one that's very bad for dogs? Or am I
very
wrong?
Very bad for dogs.
I thought
it
that
could
was
be. I'm not sure. I didn't even think about that. I don't have a dog. So.
Well, there you go. Certainly not a living dog. All right, fair
and
enough.
I don't generally feed sugar to my pets anyway. So.
God bless you.
It wouldn't have occurred to me. But you can get it in like in a bag, just like sugar, and you can use it cup for cup with baking. And I've used it for a couple different special sort of special needs recipes that I had to make for certain clients, and it's amazing. So
cool.
If she wants to try that, I got it at the health food store in Troy.
All
so
right.
You can definitely get it here.
Well, cool. Starla,
okay?
Thank you so much. We appreciate the call. Zach, time for a break. That'll be sweet. 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is here. It's a pie show, don't you know? It's the home stretch coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Field Goods, working with farmers to deliver weekly produce year-round to workplaces and community locations such as local libraries. Field Goods supports small farms and healthy eating. Field-goods.com. Shunpike Dairy, Millbrook. Raw milk from antibiotic and hormone-free cows on a family farm. Tours anytime on a working dairy. Open 7 days. ShunpikeDairy.com. The Cheryl R. Lindenbaum Comprehensive Cancer Center at New York Presbyterian Hudson Valley Hospital. NewYorkPresbyterian.org/Hudson Valley to learn more. And Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. Family owned since 1948. Offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats. Home of New England farm-made sausage. Open 7 days. Pekarsky's.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday. Ray Graff here. Deanna Fox is our guest. It's a pie show, and I couldn't be more pleased with that. This is via email, then we'll get back to the phones. This is from Mark, who says, good afternoon. I love a good banana cream pie, but they never last for more than a day. Some supermarkets are starting to sell banana cream pies that not only stay on the shelf for days, but also don't need to be refrigerated. This scares me. What is your secret to making a good banana cream pie?
Well, that anything that can last on the fridge that has a lot of dairy in it for a week or last on the counter is scary.
Okay.
Like, don't buy that. I don't really like banana cream pie because I never like that texture. However, I would say that the trick to making a really good one is using really good eggs. Make sure your egg yolks are really clean.
What do you mean clean?
They're
You wash them?
No. I would say something that's like just a good egg.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure you have good eggs.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not getting a lot of off flavors in your eggs. And from there, make sure your bananas are cut kind of thick, because your bananas are going to disintegrate a little bit.
Mushy.
So they're a little thicker when you put them on the bottom.
Okay.
That should work. But use Nilla wafers in your crust. Grind them up. Make a Nilla wafer crust. Good stuff.
I didn't even know you could still get those.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, note to self. All right, back to the phones. And on line 7, it's Kevin in Colony. Kevin, you're on.
Hi, I was just calling about sugar substitutes also.
All right.
And somebody already mentioned xylitol, and I had used that in a hard cider that I was making. And it was a website that I was kind of following that recommended that instead of sugar for that. So you guys already covered it, but I just wanted to throw that in there.
What? Now, why would you use that in hard cider? I thought the sugar ferments, right?
It's to up the alcohol content afterwards. So you add a little bit more sugar, so it's used as something more to eat.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Kevin. We appreciate that. Our number is 800-348-2551. Tom on the thruway. Now it's your turn.
Oh, thank you. I hope I have a quick one for you. My wife and I are tackling a blueberry pie for the very first time, and we're having a debate over whether or not I want to use just fresh berries and make our own filling. She's worried that that's going to be loose and fall apart, and we're bringing it to someone's house for Thanksgiving, and she thinks that the fail-safe method is to go with a can of filling.
Of course, you're correct, Tom. No? Deanna's shaking her head.
No, blueberry pie is my favorite pie. I could eat blueberry pie every day. You can use frozen or fresh berries. The difference is with frozen, they're going to release their moisture a little bit quicker. So you're actually going to have more moisture that's extracted to evaporate off and thicken your filling. So use, if you're worried about it being loose, use a frozen berry. And I use, for my thickener, I use tapioca. So instant tapioca or minute tapioca. And that stuff thickens anything up. And I use a quarter cup of it in my blueberry pie. And you'll be set. If you want to, because it is white. It does absorb up a lot of the blueberry juice, but you can still kind of see it. So measure out a quarter cup if you'd like, and then grind it in a blender or a food processor or something. So it makes like a powder, and pour it in, and it'll be thick, and it'll be perfect.
Yeah, and I'm an advocate of the whole berries, not the frozen. Is there a difference in using one versus the other?
Yeah, you could use fresh, and it will be a little bit of a softer, looser filling, just because it takes the berries longer to kind of pop and lose their juice. I would, and plus you're not going to get really good frozen blueberries right now, so I would advocate for a frozen berry that was picked as soon as it was ripe and use those. And it's actually, the berry is going to lose its moisture quicker. And it'll kind of deflate a little bit quicker, pop quicker, and it'll be a thicker filling.
I got to tell you, Tom, not on this program, but on pie shows past, she has brought her blueberry pie, and it's amazing. And it's thick, and it doesn't run, and it's really amazing. So listen to her.
Good. I'm glad I was driving by Albany.
Hey, man, thanks for the call. Have a good Thanksgiving.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye. 800-348-2551. Had a note here from someone by the name of Quick, who says xylitol is good but does act as a laxative. And by the way, where can we find the recipe for that chocolate peanut butter bacon pie? Did you ever put that up?
I don't think that recipe. I think I maybe sent it to you once to get your wife to make it.
Well, I believe we do have that at my house, but I'm not posting it. So maybe you ought to post that someday.
I should. I'll post that on the Facebook page tonight as well.
And that's Fox on Food on Facebook. So 800-348-2551 is our number with Deanna Fox here on a Food Friday. And Mark in Springfield. Mark.
Hey, happy Friday, guys.
Hey, same to you.
I have a quick question. I'm a huge fat fan. I use a lot of different fats for cooking and for other things, pork fat or duck fat, rendered down suet. So I'm just trying to find out, like, for instance, I make, like, a duck confit, which is one of my favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of fat left over, but it has, like, a little slight sage or rosemary when I cure the duck and a little bit of garlic. Could I use that stuff for crusts?
But don't make a
that as well.
Don't make a sweet pie. Make a savory pie. Make a make a galette, which is where you roll up the pie dough and you don't put it in a pie shell. You just kind of roll it out onto your baking sheet, put your filling in and kind of fold the edges over. So the center is kind of open, but you can make something. You could do, if you have duck fat with a lot of herbs in it, you could make a pie dough with that and add in like a sliced apple and caramelized onion and some thyme and some rosemary and a little bit of sherry vinegar, and it'll be perfect.
That sounds great.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It sounds like, and you roll the dough on top, so the dough all the way around?
No. You roll the dough out into a big circle, and then you place your filling in the middle, and then you leave like a 4-inch border around it, and then you just kind of fold that up over the edges of the filling. So it doesn't, it's like a flat pie. It's not in a pie pan. It's just on a baking sheet. And the middle is actually exposed a little bit. And so it almost looks like it's like a hybrid between a pizza and a pie.
Huh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mark, thanks a lot for the call. And over to line 4 and Susan in Orange County. Susan.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about gluten-free pie crust.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a mix that I bought in the store, but I'm just wondering if there's a good recipe to make from scratch that isn't gritty.
Yeah, that's the problem with gluten-free is that sometimes that texture gets a little different. It's gritty. That's a good word for it. You know, you could find recipes online. A lot of them are going to call for xanthan gum and different kind of, I guess it would be proteins that will help to keep everything bound together in place of the gluten. But usually it's a combination of a gluten-free oatmeal flour, rice flour. You know, you could try that. But I don't have one off the top of my head that I could recommend to you. But definitely, you know, look one up online or just try some different. I've had, you know, big differences in outcome based on the brand of the gluten-free mix. So if you have one that you're not crazy about, try a different brand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Susan. We appreciate the call. And Bryce in Altamont. Bryce.
Hi. I know they're not as good as like freshly baked pies, but I'm at the store right now, and there's a blueberry pie, there's a lemon meringue pie, and there's a thing called a vinegar pie.
Okay.
I'm not sure which one to go for.
Vinegar pie?
Yeah.
Have you heard of such a thing?
I've heard of it where it's like kind of like a cider pie. So it's like a boiled vinegar.
What?
Or a boiled cider.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. I've never had it, so I couldn't tell you how.
In the crust or in the pie?
In the pie.
No, it's part of the pie, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to go for it, but I don't know.
Oh, Bryce, you got to go for it. I mean, you'll be the only one. You got to try it.
All
but
right.
You know,
well, you guys know how that goes.
So wait, I have a question. It just says it's vinegar pie. Or does it say that there's vinegar in the crust?
You still there, Bryce?
Oh, no. It's vinegar in the pie, not the crust.
What, do you eat it with a spoon? I mean, it's liquid.
No, it's just boiled vinegar.
That's weird.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know.
Sounds delicious.
I'm gonna get it.
Do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. That's I can't imagine what that would be like. Let's go to Layla in Mount Tremper. Layla, you're on with Deanna Fox.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So wanted to share a recipe I just got turned on to and tried, and it's heavenly. A great pie made with Concord grapes.
Mm.
And Concord has such an amazing taste. You don't have to do anything with it. I didn't even add sugar. I just simmered the grapes. You have to separate the skins from the inside. You rub the seeds out, and then you pour the grape skins and the warm water over the pulp. You mix them together, and you let them sit for 5 hours. And it turns this absolutely amazing.
Yeah, so I grew up out near the Finger Lakes, and we have grape pie. That's our
delicious
thing.
Oh.
Yeah,
I've never had grape pie before.
It's just like what she says. It's almost like just really thick grape jelly in the center of a pie.
Oh boy, Layla, that sounds great.
I don't like baked fruit. I never went for fruit pies, but I also made a crust out of ground oats, crushed walnuts, coconut butter, and a little bit of salt. And it lasted maybe an hour and 10 minutes in this house.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. All right. Let's go over to line 3. And Amanda in Saratoga. Amanda, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I feel like at 34, I should know the answer to this, but I don't.
what is in a mincemeat pie?
Yeah, well, it was meat once upon a time. It was meat and
venison
dried fruit.
And whatnot,
yeah,
whatever
venison,
they had. Yeah,
venison and you know, raisins. You don't really see meat in mincemeat so much anymore. Usually it's like a dried fruit. So it might be like a boiled vinegar and some fat and some eggs. Almost like you would get the inside of a pecan pie, kind of that really gelled, thick filling, but it has a lot of dried fruit.
And it's not your favorite thing, is it?
Yeah,
love it.
I'm just not crazy about it.
It's really good.
Yeah. Some of it has a really like minty flavor.
Oh, really? Almost,
yeah. But that's basically what mincemeat is. But originally at one point it did have meat. We had a caller call in one time and said he made it with beaver. So.
Thank you for reminding me of that. Amanda, thanks for the call.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Yeah, the old, all right, I'm leaving it out alone. 800-348-2551 is the number. And Jennifer and Lee, get us out of this.
Hey, so this is Jennifer, and I was hearing the lady call about having to make a pie. She wanted to make a pie, but she wanted to do something that was diabetic. And what I did for my mother-in-law was I made the filling of a pie, but I put it in a baking dish so mm-hmm. that you have one less crust because the I didn't use a lower crust because then you don't have as many carbohydrates.
Ah.
And for some reason, some recipe I had, we put raspberries in, and I don't know if maybe those sort of took the edge off. You didn't necessarily taste that chemical as much afterwards because it was a little different. And then for the lid, I didn't make a lid. We made crumble, and we used the artificial sweeteners for anywhere in the recipe that it called for sugar. And she liked it very much. So I thought I'd share that with you because she's diabetic and it was new to her, and she really liked having the crumble, and it didn't affect her numbers too bad.
Beautiful.
I think because we tried numerous things to cut those numbers down for her.
Great.
Awesome.
So
thank
I thought
you.
I'd just share.
Jennifer, thanks a lot. And over to line 7 and Peter in Warwick. Peter, you're on.
Hey, Ray and Deanna, you guys are making me really hungry, so I had to call. A close friend of mine always puts about a quarter cup of scotch in his blueberry pie.
Oh, that sounds
and
good.
What happens is that the bitterness that's in scotch offsets some of the sweetness that naturally occurs with the blueberries,
mm-hmm.
and it gives it a much greater depth of flavor and mm-hmm. really a wonderful aftertaste.
Yeah.
Deanna, have you ever done that? I know blueberry is your favorite.
I've put bourbon in a lot of different pies, but I've never put scotch in the blueberry pie. So that is on my list of things to do.
And Peter, blended scotch or a single malt?
Well, you wouldn't want to ruin a single malt. You'd want to save that for the cook.
Yeah, I think maybe Chivas, you know, something middling. Right. Yeah. Well,
thanks
a lot.
Guys. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Great
you
idea.
Thank you.
You could have a piece of blueberry pie with some scotch, too.
You're
that's
set. Yeah.
Another option.
Yeah.
And over to Mildred on the thruway. Mildred.
Hi.
Hi.
I was calling about the French silk pie.
Yeah.
I used to be able to buy a French silk pie from a restaurant that was out in Delanson, but it's gone now. So for many years, I experimented with this. And instead of using like a cocoa or making a mousse sort of filling, this filling is very dense. It's almost like a truffle. And what I do is I buy a couple different kinds of chocolate that's about 85 to 90% cocoa, melt it, put in a teaspoon of vanilla and cream, and mix the chocolate and the cream, and then just pour that into the pie crust.
Mm-hmm.
And put it in the refrigerator, and then I usually top it with whipped cream and some shaved bittersweet chocolate.
Nice.
And you're upset about the loss of the store?
What was the name of the restaurant in Delanson?
The restaurant was called the Summit Room.
Huh. I live out there. I've never heard of it.
It was kind of off in Duanesburg, sort of off, if you go through Duanesburg and you're going towards Delanson, instead of going on 20, you would go on 7.
Right.
But it's gone now,
and
right?
It was up in that area.
Bummer.
Oh, well.
What?
It's gone now, though, right?
Yeah, it's gone. It's been gone for probably 10, 15 years at this point.
Well, sorry, Mildred, but thank you for calling. You'll be the last one today. All right. Once again, on Facebook, Deanna Fox is
Fox on Food.
All right. And on Instagram,
Instagram and Twitter is Deanna N. Fox.
All right. Well, and then you'll have a website. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
When it gets all straightened out. Well done, old friend. Support comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, now booking holiday parties at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout Western Massachusetts. BlueHeronDining.com/catering. Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts, handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers, and blends, specializing in garlic and hot pepper blends. RollingRockSalt.com for events and details. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. And Crown Maple Syrup, Hudson Valley, open every weekend for lunch at Maple Tours with the third annual Pancake Breakfast with Santa on Saturday, December 17th. CrownMaple.com for tickets. Thanks again to Deanna Fox for being here. Thanks to you for all the great calls and for listening in general. Thanks to Zach Malloy for the sterling service this week at the controls. Colleen O'Connell and was that Dina? Dina also took the calls today. Well, that was wonderful, both of you. Thanks again for being here this week. Alan will be in the big chair on Monday for a Vox Pop Medical Monday. Stand by for news.